go ahead this morning. Let's stand. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verse number 5. Proverbs, chapter 1, and verse number 5. Proverbs, chapter 1, verse number 5. I want you to notice what Solomon says here, and he ought to know. Outside of Jesus Christ, Solomon was the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And this is what he said about wisdom. He said in verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now what he's saying is, he's saying a wise man is going to hear. You see somebody that won't hear you, they won't listen to you, that's a fella, he's not wise, he's a fool. He says a wise man will increase learning. You don't never get to the point where you know everything. You ought to be continually learning. And we're going to apply all this to spiritual things this morning, but it ain't just spiritual things, it's everything. It says a man of understanding. If you've got any understanding about you at all, you will attain unto wise counsel. When somebody that's wise gives you good counsel, you'll get it. And you'll listen to it. Now you keep that scripture in mind as we'll get into what I'm going to preach to you about this morning. Brother Russell, would you pray for the message?
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, again, just want to thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for our perfect word to read out of, dear Lord. And I pray that
yes.
You be with the preaching now, Lord. Pray Amen. That you be with our pastor. Lord, I pray that Heavenly Father, you would just fill him with a great filling.
Yes.
Power and the liberty and the ability to preach, dear Lord. And I pray that you would be with me in the congregation, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that you would open up our ears and open up our hearts and our mind, dear
yes.
Lord.
Yes, amen.
Help us not be distracted, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you would help the just wash away the cares and the things of the world away. And Lord, I just pray that you would get all the praise and the honor and glory that you're worthy of.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that your perfect will be done now in this service.
Amen.
Lord. But most of all, I pray that you would just show up.
Yes, amen.
All these things we pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I think most of you already know this. In our church anyway, maybe some of you visitors don't know. This past Thursday, Dr. Ruckman went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the Bible says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. And he was a man certainly worthy of great honor. Amen? There's no doubt that Dr. Ruckman was probably the single most influential man in my Christian life. Now, I did not attend Pensacola Bible Institute. I went to a Southern Baptist Bible College. And though he preached here, I did not know Dr. Ruckman on a personal level. But his numerous commentaries and books and videos, along with the privilege of hearing him preach in at least 6 different churches, a couple of jails and juvenile delinquent centers, and just listening to him for 20 plus years have taught me much. I believe that he was a great preacher. I believe that he was a great teacher. And I'm very thankful for the things he taught me. Now, as all men who are truly used of God, Dr. Ruckman was not liked by some, and he was criticized by others, and I think this was mostly due to jealousy. I guess men have a right to their own opinion, even if that opinion is wrong. Amen. That's exactly where I stand on it. And listen, I'm not saying Dr. Ruckman was perfect in everything that he taught, was perfect in everything that he did, because Dr. Ruckman was in fact a man, and there's no man that's perfect. But he was a true hero and champion of the faith. Dr. Ruckman taught me, or at the very least, I will say this morning, he reinforced some things for me that helped me become the preacher and the pastor and the Christian that I have become today. I believe they are very important things, and I believe they don't just apply to me in my life. I believe they ought to apply to this church, they ought to apply in your lives, and I believe you can get the help from it. So what I want to do this morning is, it's just simple. We just read a verse about a wise man ought to learn something. He ought to keep on learning something. He ought to attain to wise counsel. I've attained to some wise counsel through this man. And I just want to give you some things that I've learned from Dr. Peter S. Ruckman that's helped me in honor of the going home to the Lord of this man, and that's helped me. And I'm not just in that honoring him, but I want to help you because some of the things, same things he's helped me with, by the grace of God, I'm trying to help you with them. I want us to get a hold of these things. I believe it's vital and important for us as Christians to get a hold of some of these things and to live our lives accordingly. So here we go. Number one, things I have learned from Dr. Ruttman. Number one, the first thing I learned, thank God, is that we have a perfect Bible and it's the final authority in all matters of faith and practice.
Amen.
We have a perfect Bible. We don't have an accurate Bible. We don't have a Bible that's halfway true. I know when I lay my head on my pillow at night and I go to sleep and I've just read a few verses and turn out that light, I've read out of God's perfect word.
Amen.
Now I was saved out of a church that the pastor preached out of the King James. I don't know how much he believed it. He said he did. I don't even know if he knew there was a controversy. You know, old country folks have to be taught how to believe in the King James Bible. They got more sense than some of these educated scholarly types. I'm going to tell you something. If you have to go to cemetery and learn that we don't have a perfect Bible. Now, I sit in a Bible college, and I heard professors many a time talk down that Bible, and it's better translated this way, and that's an unfortunate rendering, and we don't have a perfect Bible, and we just have accurate manuscripts and accurate words and all that kind of baloney, and that's what they're sending out of the seminaries. That's what they're sending out of the Bible colleges. That ain't hearsay. I've sat in there and heard it with my own ears.
Amen.
That's why the preachers now, they ain't worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow them up.
Amen.
They ain't got any God on them. They ain't got any Holy Spirit on them. They couldn't preach themselves out of a wet paper bag. Because when they get in the pulpit, they don't believe they've got a perfect book. If you don't believe you've got a perfect book, I don't know what you are, but a preacher you're not. You need to get out of the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't believe we got a perfect book, what in the world are you doing telling people they ought to live by this book? You're a hypocrite. In it for money. You tell your preacher, I said it.
Amen.
Bless God, I ain't backing up on it.
Amen.
Thank God Dr. Ruttman gave me some ammunition to defend this Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible, not other men. Make you think because they've got some kind of linguistic skills or they know Greek or Hebrew, somehow that gives a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. They just know something better than you. That's foolishness. This church stands on the fact that we have a King James Bible that is perfect without error. And if you don't believe that, you have no business being a member of this church. This is not the church you want to be a member of if you don't believe that when I pick up this book, every single word is perfect. There's no errors in it. We will not hold back. We think the other versions are full of errors. We think they're guided. The people that helped translate those things were guided by the devil. Now listen, we're not going to be belligerent, we're not going to be mean-spirited, we're not going to jump on these other churches that don't believe that or whatever. I understand that, but I'm telling you, because this is my church here this morning, this is our church here this morning, we are not going to back off of our stand on this book just because there's a bunch of folks out there that don't believe it. And if you want to settle here in this church, if you want to be a member of this church, if you want to go in this church, you better know one thing. We're going to promote that Bible over every preacher, every man, every person that ever comes in here.
Amen.
When the dust settles and the smoke clears one day, all this God's word is going to stand true.
Right.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. And by the way, we're going to be judged by that perfect book one day. And you need to believe that. Listen, if I did not believe that, if all I had was just accurate copies, how do you know what part of it's accurate and how do you know what part's not? Well, we have the scholars to tell us that. Oh, so then it goes back to a man. Do you know how many so-called of you scholars? And listen, I got a study full of commentaries. I sit in the Bible colleges. I listen to that junk. Day after day after day. The scholars, as you call them, they don't even agree with each other.
Right.
So you want to put the fate of eternity in a man's opinion?
Right.
You better put it in this book. And I'm telling some of you, I don't think I have a problem with this, but I'm going to tell some of you now. I know some of you think I'm a little hard on this issue and I'm a little tough on it and I don't know what the fuss is. That's because you're too cotton-picking lazy to study it out yourself. You ain't never picked up nothing and studied it. You ain't never looked at it. You ain't never compared it. You don't even know nothing about the issue. You just know your family don't agree with the preacher, so you agree with them. We'll get on that in a minute. I'm going to tell you something. If you just take 10 and 15 and 20 minutes and just get the Bibles and compare them, you'll know that they're not the same. They are not the same. It ain't just a bunch of these and thous being taken out. It's whole verses omitted. It's changing the meaning of the words. It's ridiculous. And this church is going to stand on it, and you ain't going to give me no trouble about it either. And some of you happy you come in here today? You're not bullying me on this King James Bible. I've done come too far. I believe it's perfect. It's without error. 90% of this church believes that. The rest of you can get on board or do something else. Amen. That's real good preaching this morning. Yes, sir. I'm having a good time whether any of you are or not. Now, bless God, if we ain't got a perfect book, you save your money, buy you something with it. Don't be paying me no salary no more. Padlock the church and let's all go to the house and don't ever come back because everybody can do what's right in his own eyes. But if God gave us a perfect book and a perfect instruction, we better pay attention to it and promote it, not man. That's exactly right. Let me get off that. Number two. I got his spirit this morning, don't I? Amen. Number two. I'll tell you what he taught me. He taught me all to stand with God's word over anything or anybody. Dr. Ruckman helped reinforce and teach me that I ought to stand with his Bible over anything, anybody. And I'm going to. I'm going to stand with his book over my family. I'm going to stand with his book over my mom and daddy. I'm going to stand with his book over my wife. I'm going to stand with his book over my youngins. I'm going to stand with his book over every deacon, every preacher, everybody. I'm going to stand with that book over my denomination. I don't give a rip what the Baptists say, bless God. If it don't match that book, I ain't standing with it. I'm standing with that book over the Baptists, over the fundamentalists, over my denomination, over everybody. When it's all said and done, I'm standing with this King James Bible if it crosses everybody. That's exactly right. He taught me that. You buy the truth and you sell it not. You don't sell it out just because it crosses somebody. The problem with a lot of people, they're more concerned about being a good Baptist or a good fundamentalist than they are being a good Bible believer. And so if they see something that don't match the traditional fundamentalist approach or belief, they won't try to study it out. They'll just try to kick you and put you out over there and make you act like there's something wrong with you because you don't believe what us traditional fundamental Baptists believe. Who cares, man? Go stick your head in the bucket three times and pull it out twice. You think I give a rip what the traditional fundamental Baptist approach is? I could care less. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? If God says something about it, let's do what He says about it. Don't give a rip if anybody likes it or not. We got a few visitors here this morning. You're looking at me like, bless God, I picked the wrong day to wander in here. Man, I should have picked another day to make my first trip in here. It done got rough up in here. I ought to stand with God's word over my ministry or my ministries. And when God's word tells me I'm wrong and I've got up here and preached something for 20 years, I ought to be man enough to get up in front of this church and say, folks, I was wrong. The Bible is right. And I'm sorry. I went by the light that I had, but I was wrong. And I'm going to preach what this Bible says. That's exactly right. Number three. I'll tell you what he taught me. Dr. Ruckman taught me that plain preaching gets the job done. Dr. Ruckman taught me that plain preaching gets the job done. When you read in that Bible, the prophets spoke plain. Paul the Apostle spoke plain. Jesus Christ spoke plain. Now, sometimes, and John the Baptist spoke pretty plain. Now, sometimes folks will say, well, you know, Brother Dennis, he's a little crude in his speech, and he's a rough talker. He talks a little rough sometimes. That all may be true, But let me tell you something, man. I believe that when you preach that Bible, you ought to preach it where everybody can understand it. I believe you ought to preach the Bible where everybody knows exactly what you're saying. You may not agree with my preaching. You may not like my preaching. My preaching may make you so mad you don't even want to shake my hand when you leave. Help yourself. You'll just be one in the line of many. But you will never, ever, ever leave one of my sermons scratching your head going, man, I wonder what Brother Dennis was trying to say this morning. I wish Brother Dennis just one time in his life would just let us really know how he feels about something. You'll never do that in this church. You'll never wonder where I stand on something, bless God. Bunch of compromising liver belly preachers. They ain't worth the gunpowder to take to blow them up. They won't take a stand on nothing. That's what's wrong with the church. You got too many compromising preachers. They're scared to preach. Scared what somebody's going to say to them. Scared who's going to run them off. God put me here and God ascend me somewhere. And ain't nobody running me off or doing anything to me until God's finished. And I tell you what, we ain't doing it the old Southern Baptist way around here. We ain't going to be voting on me. We're going to be voting on you. There ain't two or three of you going to get disgruntled with me and get a thing in the church and run me off. Bless God, we're going to get together and run you off.
Amen.
Amen. That's real good preaching, ain't it?
Amen.
I'm having a good time, Brother Russell. Hey, some folks out there smiling, shaking their head, enjoying others. It's like, man, good night almighty. How did I get in here today? Plain preaching gets the job done. You ought to tell it like it is. You ought to tell it plain. You ought to put it right across that plate, waist high, where they can knock a home run with it. If they receive it, that's on them. If they reject it, that's on you. But preacher, you ought to give it to them where they can understand it. That 4 and 5 year old in that church ought to be able to understand you, and that 50 and 60 year old ought to be able to understand you. Nobody ought to question what you are trying to tell them. Too many of these preachers get up there and they try to impress folks with their supposed amount of knowledge and stuff they've learned in Bible college and pronouncing these big Greek words and Hebrew words and going in all this stuff and this lengthy dissertation on nothing that even matters.
Amen.
Just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Just preach plain.
Right. Yeah.
Hey man, I'd rather you at least I ought to preach it where you ought to at least be able to choose a side. You ought to at least be able to say, man, I love the way Brother Dennis preaches. Man, that really gets my heart locked. Or you may say, man, that guy disgusts me. I can't stand that loud mouth, chubby joker pointing his finger at me. At least my preaching ought to evoke something out of you. I get tired of these preachers getting up there. You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher up there mumbling and groaning and carrying on. Nobody, you do that for 45 or 50 minutes. You're so boring, nobody will stay with you. You just hear a little bit here, there. You just tap dancing all over the place. You won't take a position on nothing. You're scared to. You ain't going to get that here. Bless God, I'm going to put my feet down somewhere and I'm going to preach it like it is. And it can. Well, I don't care who it offends.
That's
exactly right. Plain preaching gets the job done. And that's the kind of preaching your youngins don't need to grow up and hear. Number 4. I tell you what he taught me. Dr. Ruttman taught me to be gracious to those who are not gracious to you. You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It doesn't matter what anybody does to you. You just need to realize that God's been good to you and bless you, so don't worry about what a bunch of baby thumb-sucking Christians say.
Amen.
You know, I heard Dr. Ruttman say that many times. Somebody would criticize them about something, then God would give them another ministry. Somebody put them down, then God would give them some more souls. And somebody say this over here, and he'd write another 2 or 3 books. I mean, the more they criticize, the more he just poured. He said, look, why should I worry about what a bunch of little jealous, thumb-sucking baby Christians are saying about me that ain't never put themselves out there, ain't never tried to do nothing for God, ain't never been used for God, ain't never going to be used for God? Why am I going to worry about what they say about me and be mad toward him, be gracious and forgiving toward them? I learned that from Dr. Ruttman. And that's the way Christians ought to be. You've got to be that way. Listen, man, don't worry about what everybody's saying about you. Let me tell you something I've learned about Christianity and learned about church people, Brother LaVon. Everybody knows what to do with a tiger except for the one that's got him by the tail. We got a bunch of armchair Christians is what we got. Now, you don't want to give, and you don't want to ante up, and you don't want to get in the fight, and you don't want to do nothing, but you want to sit back and criticize. Listen, all you folks in this church that are up in the battle, and you're trying to do something, you're trying to serve, you're trying to live for God, you're trying to get something done, the bunch of naysayers that just show up when they want to, and they don't never commit to nothing, they don't never do anything, don't worry about them when they run their mouth. They ain't got no business running their mouth, they don't do nothing anyway. Just let them go on, and you go on and do what you're supposed to do in this church. Amen. Ain't that right? Just forgive them and say, God, help them. God, be merciful to them. Don't get bitter with them. Don't get mad with them. Don't get resentful of them. They're just talking. They're just all talk. That's all they're ever going to be. They ain't never going to, all they want to do, that they ain't going to commit to God. They want to run their mouth and hurt you in your commitment to God. That's all they want to do. So just go on and forget it. Why in the world, and again, I learned this from Dr. Ruttman, it's very good. Why should I be worried about what every once in a while what somebody writes in to me on the computer or phones in or says to me about my radio ministry or about my ministry on sermon audio in the different places and here? When 99% of us, you helped me. Thank you, preacher. That was good. What a blessing. I needed that. Thank you. I appreciate your ministry. Appreciate what your church does. And every once in a while, some little baby, carnal Christian write in and say something, and I'm just going to go, I can't believe that. They talked about me on Facebook. I'm quitting the ministry. Why would you do something like that? They talking about everybody on Facebook. That's all you do on Facebook. Don't get me started on that. Who cares what they say about you on Facebook? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares what some kind of dudge for Christ say about you and me when we're in here trying to do something for the Lord? Don't let that rock your boat. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to go back and revisit this King James Bible issue here just for a minute. Who cares what those folks in other churches say about you and write about you and put on that Facebook about you because you believe in that King James Bible when they won't take 5 minutes to listen to you explain what you believe and why. Now, there's something wrong with somebody. Listen, if I can show you the evidence, we can sit down and talk about it. And you just say, well, preacher, I just going to agree to disagree with you. Okay, I still think you're wrong, but I ain't got no problem with you. But I tell you, this bunch won't do that, Brother Russell. I tell you what, these churches and these preachers and these Christians all around here, they run their mouth and post stuff on Facebook and say things around here about us and won't none of them give us 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes to take your Bible and to take my Bible and show you where they don't match. They won't do it, Brother Russell, because they're not honest. They're not honest. So why should you worry about what they think about you or say about you when they ain't even got enough character in them to listen to you show them the truth?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go on. Number 5, this is what I learned from Dr. Ruttman. Just be yourself. Don't be a put on. I heard this quote before, be yourself because nobody is better qualified. You got a unique set of fingerprints that nobody else in this world's got. God made you different. Don't try to be something you're not. One thing I can't stand is preachers that get in the pulpit and preach with that fake voice.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You talk to him. I'll demonstrate. Yes, sir. They get out there talking to you and it's like, well, hey, sister, how you doing? Hey, brother, good to see y'all. Yeah, I mean, you know, just talking like regular people and get up in the pulpit. Now today, I shall lecture on the subject of hypocrites. Me being the first example. Oh man, that guy don't talk like that. Now what we need to do, dear children of God, is we need to pray more fervently. Ah! Somebody bring me a puke bucket. That's nonsense. Jesus Christ didn't do that. John the Baptist didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. The prophets didn't do that. They didn't get up there and change their voice and try to act like some kind of sanctimonious dud. They didn't do that. They were who they are. Now listen, I don't expect a person to be like me if he's not like me. And I don't expect me to be like him if I'm not like him. There are some of my preacher friends and some people I really look up to. I can't be like them. I'm marked for life. I was born and raised on the Brooklyn Road. I can't get that out of me. It's there. All right. All right. I like to fish. I like to hunt. I like to go out in the garden. I like to go out in the woods. I like to eat butter beans and cornbread and fried chicken. I'm just an old redneck country preacher, and I ain't going to apologize for that. Now, if you want one of these real sophisticated ones, go to the first refrigerator or something like that, and you can get all that you want. But I am what I am, and I'm not going to try to be something different. When you put on, you're being a hypocrite. And if God made you an intellectual sort, and you're a real educated sort, and you're from up north, then you guys, you can talk like this. But He didn't make me like that, so that's why I talk like I do. That's right. You got to be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are. I tell you, if you just be who you are, you'll be way more effective as a Christian. Way more effective as a preacher. Now I got a couple of more things for you, and that'll be the end of it this morning. Number six. This is two really important things that I believe that the Lord, through Dr. Ruttman, helped teach me. A successful man or woman, a successful man or woman is the one who finds God's will for their life and does it. A successful man or a woman is the one that finds God's will for their life and then does that will.
Amen.
Now listen to me, and listen very good. Success is not in how much money you make. Success is not how much power you gain. Success is not in the education you achieve. Success is not defined by the world. Success is not defined by achieving anything in the world. That Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his soul? He dies a loser. He dies a loser if he gets the whole world, but he didn't get his soul saved. He didn't come to Christ. Now, a successful man is a man who finds God's will for his life and does it. And let me just tell you this. You're going to look on that TV and you're going to be influenced by the world to tell you that you're not successful. You're not successful because you didn't get this education and you don't have this position and you don't have this much money and you don't in this family right here and they don't know you and you don't know them. Why don't you just let God be the final judge of who's going to be successful? You know, that crew that you're worried about, their opinion and what they say is right and wrong, what they say is successful or not, they're going to stand before God, and one by one, God's going to boot most of that bunch off into hell one day. And you're going to let them influence what you think is right and wrong? You know what God says? Listen, who wants to be a successful person? Only Russell. Okay, thank you. Brother Philip, he wants to be successful. All right. Do you want to be a successful person? I'm going to tell you how you can do it. And you little kids and you teenagers, maybe some of you teenagers starting to think about that and all that kind of stuff. Here's how you become a successful person. It ain't the occupation that you have or anything. I know that's what you think, but that's not it. You become a successful person by finding God's will in your life and then doing what He tells you to do. That's how you become a successful person. And listen, all of you in here, all of you look up here at me. I don't care what universities you've attended. I don't care what money you have. I don't care what job position you have. I don't care how many vehicles you have or how good life seems to you. You are going to die a failure one day if you don't find God's will, not yours, God's perfect will for your life and do it. You will die being very unsuccessful. And that person down there, you thought they hadn't achieved nothing in life. Yeah, they did. No, they didn't have the money you do. They didn't have the power you do. They didn't have the things that you do. They didn't gain the things but you know what they did? They found out what God wanted them to do, and they did it, and they're going to die and be in much better shape eternally than you ever will be. You better realize that the successful man, the successful woman, the most important thing in a Christian life is his personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else is important. Your ministry is not as important.
Yeah, that's right.
Your what you do is not as important. How big of a church you have, if you're a pastor or a preacher or a minister or whatever, it's not as important. None of that is important. The most important thing for you in your life, listen, Dr. Ruttman taught me that, this, is that you get saved. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you say, and ask Him to save you. And when He saves you, then you worry about fellowshipping with Him and being obedient to Him and walking with Him more than anything or anyone in this world. That's the most important thing. Nothing else is more important. Not winning souls. Not building bigger ministries or bigger churches. Nothing is more important than your personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that many years ago I heard Dr. Ruttman say that and preach that. And he helped me with that. And I want to help you with that. Now look, we're going to have a hymn invitation here in a moment. These are some things that he helped me with. These are some things that he taught me. Now I'm asking you to search your heart. Do you think any of these things that I preached this morning are important for a Christian to stand by? Amen. Important that a Christian be reinforced? Or important that a Christian help them and speak to them? If you do, then I want you to maybe take some time this morning and come to the altar and pray about it. And just ask God to help you with it. Ask God to strengthen you in those areas. Dr. Ruttman was a wonderful man. He was a mentor. He was a hero of the faith. And these were just a few of the things that he taught me. And by God's grace, I want to continue to help instruct and teach others. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.